But without further ado, we'll chat to Dave Hooper. How are you doing, Dave?
Not too bad, Neil. How are you?
You got safely back from Baku anyway.
I did, yeah. Back in Dublin now, yeah.
So this was the first European Games. How did you find it? And do you think it'll be something that will go on from strength to strength?
Well, I found it very much, it was very mixed in sports, you know, to be honest with you. Like, for instance, athletics wasn't involved at all except for Division 4 of the European Team Championships, which is Ireland are in Division 1. So while Azerbaijan are in Division 4, which is why the reason that league went to the European Team Championships, the main athletes were spread around Europe. So that's something that has to be improved on. I think the swimming has to be improved on as well. They were European Junior Championships or Under-19 Championships. That obviously, you need to bring the seniors in, even though they kind of pointed that a lot of the top Europeans that will be in the, among the medals in Rio next year were in Baku last week. Otherwise, it was very interesting. I think Ryan McMullen in the cycling two weeks ago, when he finished in eighth place in the time trial, that was very impressive. And considering that the winner, Valdez of Belarus, won the Giro d'Italia time trial earlier this year. He's on Contador's team. And showed you the standard in cycling that was actually there in Baku, considering that the tour starting shortly, and we're kind of mid-season with the Giro already over. Other sports, the boxing, of course, was just total top rank. Even though I know Paddy Barnes and Michael Condon weren't there for the Irish men's team, you know, like who Katie Taylor fought was all the top boxers in the women's division. And the other boxers were fighting top boxers, in particular Darren O'Neill. So it shows that it was a little bit mix and match, but I think this tournament is, you have to remember the first three Olympic Games didn't really garner the interest. It was really only after 1908 that things really picked on, and that all the best sports and all the best athletes started going to the Olympic Games.
Yeah, and I'll start with maybe one political question. That, do you think having it in Baku and Azerbaijan, and I know there was question marks over human rights and stuff like that, do you think that was a mistake, or how did you find it out there?
Finding out there, it was actually, it's a beautiful city. It's absolutely fantastic looks-wise. It's amazing what goes on. I didn't see, there was no protests. That was very surprising. There was absolutely no protests on the streets, even though they spent whatever it was, $9 billion or €9 billion euro on the entire games. There didn't seem to be any complaints, whereas I think, you know, you went to many other countries, including China, for the Beijing Olympics, there was protesting against that type of spending. So that was a little bit strange. The games, as far as I can understand, there was Pat Hickey has been trying to get this off the ground for many, many years, and Azerbaijan came forward, President Aliyev came forward, and that set the games in motion, and that's what ends up in Baku. Where they go from Baku is a big question. I think they were agreed to go to the Netherlands in about a week before the Netherlands pulled out of the 2019 European Games. But there's Sochi in Russia, who held the Winter Olympics. They're looking very much like they might get the next games. It could go back to Baku. Poland have made an inquiry. Turkey have made an inquiry. And even coming through England last year, Manchester are looking to bid for 2023. So it shows that there's a lot of interest in the games continuing.
And do you think, how do you think it fits well in the calendar in between, we'll say, World Championships for, I know obviously the athletics aren't there, but various different World Championships, and obviously a year before the Olympics?
Well, I think the idea is to have it a year before the Olympics to give European athletes that kind of feeling of going through. It was very much speaking to the athletes. It was very much like an Olympic feel. And even in the last week, even the journalists said we're starting to get that feeling that it was, you know, like there was a lot of kind of rushing around and panicking and that kind of stuff that happens when you're covering an Olympic Games. Speaking to a lot of the sports, like I know a number of the sports are moving their European Championships and their World Championships for the next Games in 2019. So I know canoeing is probably a key one, where we saw Jennifer Egan finishing fourth place in the slalom canoe. Their European Championships were in April, or late April, early May, but they're actually moving them for the next game, so they won't be in the same year. There's not going to be a conflict. And you can see a couple of sports are starting to do that and starting to move their championships around and moving their calendar. Like, remember, this games were announced in 2012. We were actually in London. I was actually going out to the Olympic Stadium in London when it was announced.
that 2015 would be going to Baku. So it takes a little bit of time, particularly when it was kind of, you know, mid-cycle and mid-Olympic cycle that this event took place. And those are issues that are right, they have to be sorted out, but I think they're kind of on the roadmap to be resolved.
Yeah, and turning actually to the sport, which is obviously is the main aspect of it. We were expected, I suppose, to get a couple of medals in the boxing, but the medals we got in badminton, tell us the background of that, and what was it, a surprise?
It wasn't a surprise going into the tournament, Neil. I think the big surprise is where we didn't get more.
Yeah.
In the European Games, I think that Scott Evans was number one seed in the men's competition, and he went out in the quarterfinal. You had to get to the semi-final. There was no third and fourth place playoff. There was no bronze medal match, so losing the semi-final, you got a bronze medal. Scott Evans went in as top seed. I think he's ranked 22nd in the world. Now, you have to remember that there was another five European athletes, European badminton players, that are above Evans in the world rankings that didn't go to the Games for whatever reason. So that kind of showed you where there was a bit of mismatch. Evans went out to a Dane in the quarterfinal. That was very, very disappointing. I think even Scott admitted that. Chloe McGee as well, I expected her to end up on the podium in the women's singles event. She lost her very first game to Kamalov of Estonia. That was a big surprise from the way I was reading it. And even speaking to Chloe, and after they picked up their bronze medal in the mixed doubles, she was saying that Kamalov only really played well in one game the entire tournament. It just happened to be the game that McGee played her in. The others, the mixed doubles, that wasn't really that surprising. They were number one ranked. I think they were, when they kind of got to the business end of the competition, the standard really did jump up. The French were very, very good. It was the same in the men's double. That was a very good bronze medal because Josh is a young guy, Josh McGee. He's going to have a lot more to offer. And the two Russian guys they played in the semi-final were really very, very strong. And it was a real jump up in standard there. But like that, again, this is where European Games is kind of needed. Like, would we be on NewsM talking about badminton otherwise, or would the, you know, the main newspapers and the main broadcasters in the country be covering badminton if it was outside the European Games, and it was kind of living on the same in the same breath as the boxers and the swimmers and the basketball players that were over there? So all these sports need that type of games to kind of bring them on.
Yeah, a very good point. So where is the strength of badminton in Ireland? Do you think it's going from strength to strength because of these games and things like that, or is it something that needs a serious rethink?
Well, I think you have to just go around the corner down to Baldoyle and you'll see what's happening.
Yeah.
Go down to the National Centre. The McGee's, obviously, the McGee family and Sam, Chloe and Josh, are, you know, when you have a family that go out to the games, I think they had another family member was just can't remember, sorry, the name off the top of my head, who was on the coaching staff. You know, badminton is always, it's never going to sit in the kind of same breath as even athletics and boxing in the general run of the mill. But this is a chance for them to expand and get more people involved and get people to go out and see badminton. And these are the chances that come with Olympic Games and as they are now European Games. And that's really their chance.
And turning to the boxing, obviously Katie Taylor won the gold as she was expected. But she did get a fright at one stage. How did you think Katie performed throughout?
Well, I thought really the first fight she fought, I thought she looked very ring rusty in that. I was expecting that because Katie hadn't fought Yana Alisabath, if I can say the name just right, at the moment when I'm talking to you. So you have to remember she fought Katie in November, last November, in the World Final, and gave her a good contest, and Katie was on form, and that was a good tight contest. She came to her first round, didn't look all that. It was ring rustiness more so into the quarterfinal, and she picked up the bronze. I thought that was a typical kind of Taylor performance, and there was never any questions and doubt. The Swedish girl she was up against really wasn't in the same league as Katie. The semi-final then was probably really should have been the final, which could have been very interesting. I didn't think definitely the first round Katie wasn't at the races there. Second round she won. And the third round, I thought, was very close to call. Now, speaking to Billy Walsh and Pete Taylor afterwards, they were the opposite. And even Billy Walsh told me on Saturday that he watched the fight back and thought that she won the three rounds. The fourth round, Katie came out and she really had to win. and you could see the difference really from the bell ringing that she wanted to, that she had to do the business in this, and she sent, she got about it. There was a very key punch she threw right at the end, about 30, 40 seconds before the bell, where Al-Azifa just hit the ropes, and I said that to Katie as well, that she think that was the key shot, and Katie said she thought it was the kind of shot that would have swung the judges would have noticed. So like, I honestly thought I had to get up out of the press box a bit early to go down and speak to Katie. You have to do that before the fight's finished, and I thought getting up, I thought she's lost this. I wasn't completely surprised, delighted when the judges read out the result and Katie won through. The final, Estelle Mosley wasn't in the same league as her, and I think that was evident that she was never under any pressure. And but what I would say, if Katie had gone in the way she attacked the fourth round of the semi-final, if she had attacked the whole semi-final, or she gets into a position, it shows you how much better she is than the rest, and what she can offer if she has to go on the all-out offensive.
Yeah, and the other gold obviously Ireland got was Michael O'Reilly, a fantastic performance. He's a Port Leash native, I believe. Can you tell us about his performances?
Well, his performances were kind of more, how could you say, they were more kind of workmanlike all the way through the tournament. Like, his medal match was very much, he didn't have to, he did what needed to be done, and he won each round, 30-27, I think it was. The three judges gave that to him in his quarter-final fight, and his semi-final fight was very much the same. He went in and he just really kind of looked after things. He didn't get hit. He moved away and he did his own fight and won through. The final was a cracking fight, because that was Azerbaijan. You have to remember the day of the semi-final when Katie just scraped across the line against Azerbaijan. There was five Azerbaijan fighters fighting that day in the Crystal Hall, and four of them won through. So Taylor was the only one that lost. O'Reilly's final, I thought his first round was excellent. He definitely won that. He did take his foot off the gas the second round, and the Azerbaijan, he won it and tied the belt up. I really thought coming down to the scorecards that was going to be given the nod to the hometown fighter, particularly where the crowd get behind him. And O'Reilly really, he just won the judges over. He went in, he got into a brawl, he landed some good shots. He stood back and he went at the body. He worked the body and then let the guard drop and went for a headshot. And it showed you, when he came out with the gold medal, that was really the total upset of the tournament. Even the British journalist were over to us saying that it's an amazing way to finish, because it was totally unexpected that an Azerbaijani would get beaten in Azerbaijan on such a close margin.
Yeah, especially in boxing, which has a long history of, hometown decisions. I think people back to Seoul with Roy Jones in 88. But we also got a silver medal with Brendan Irvine. And what was Billy Roach's thoughts with the medal haul in the end? Was he happy with it, or did he think we could have got more medals?
Well, he was happy with it. He thought that it was another good day for Irish boxing, particularly on Saturday when we picked up two gold medals. I have to remember we lost out. I think it was, we actually had nine fighters fighting for a bronze medal. We only got, and we got one gold, or two gold, one silver, and two bronze. So like we had four fighters that lost out on a couple of belts. I thought Darren O'Neill, that was really a hometown decision. Neil, now the one, as you say, hometown decisions. Darren, I thought had won that belt against the Ukrainian, and there was just obviously Ukraine being so close to Azerbaijan, there was a bit more support weighed that way. Some of the other belts, I don't, Kira Smith, I think has a bit more work to do, but she's definitely one to watch for. And the other guys like Dean Walsh, I thought, fair enough, they were kind of fair defeats, and I don't think that anyone would argue with that. But we probably could have ended up getting maybe another one or two more medals if Lady Luck had shown us a bit more.
Great stuff, Dave. Chat to you soon, and hope you settle back to the time difference back in Dublin.
Yeah, thanks very much, Neil.
Brilliant stuff. And that's Dave Hooper there, formerly of This Paris, just back from Baku. I don't know if you caught much of the games, lads.
I didn't catch a great deal. I caught the two finals.
Yeah.
Taylor's
and O'Reilly's. Michael.
Yeah. Two good fights. Like Dave was saying, I think they should have expected a few more medals, especially considering that not a lot of the bigger athletes showed up.
Yes, yeah.
Um, But what do you think?
I think I didn't really follow a whole lot of it, to be honest with you. But the Scott Evans is really sad that he didn't make the impact here. You know, at 2021, Scott Evans was already our greatest ever badminton player. The guy is a huge star in the making. He's a guy who could have really, you know, in the same way that we follow certain individual sports athletes, he could have, in badminton, he could have really broken through. And he did to a certain extent on a low level. But even like he's the first Irish guy to play in the Olympics. And it's in Beijing and the games are on at like 3 o'clock in the morning when he's featuring. It's just like when these big opportunities come his way, he could, like in London, I think he got the number one seed, you know, in the second round or something. Yeah. He just keeps on. Almost lady not luck. His fault. Yeah, it goes against him.
And I suppose the point that Dave was making, that if the next games are in somewhere like Holland or somewhere like that, it may be more accessible for people to get into. But from a sporting point of view, I think a year before the Olympic Games, it seems to make sense. So it's something that could build up from strength to strength.
Yeah, the opportunity for basically our guys to get competitive action, it is against, you know, their peers, as opposed to being, you know, finishing 7th and 8th and, you know, being lucky to get out of the semi-finals or whatever. So
yeah, it's, yeah.